if you serve with a church that has less than 250 people, there's some great scholarship benefits and stuff to go to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. This is the same program we got Chris from, and I guess that worked out so well for us, right? So Ryan is in the same program, and he'll be on our teaching team some in the future, and we'll have him share his testimony here in a few weeks. And he's already plugged into the student ministry. He'll be teaching a Bible study today. But I wanted to just introduce him to all of y'all. I'll get to know Ryan, and he's going to read our scripture for us this morning.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to be reading from the ESV translation. So, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and we rejoice. In hope of the glory of God, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given this to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But if the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of the grace and free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where the sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right. All right. Thank you, Ryan. Romans chapter 5 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, and along with Romans chapter 8. So I'm glad as we spread these passages out among the teaching team that Romans chapter 5 just happened to fall for my week. We've heard from the other guys kind of the bad news of Romans 4. And it's been some dark days in Romans 1 through 3, right? About how bad we are. About how our throats are open graves. I've kind of been introducing myself to people like that. Hi, I'm Lane. My throat is an open grave. Because it really hammers home our sinfulness. Well, then, when we get to Romans 5, the good news comes. We've had kind of 3 or 4 weeks now of bad news in Romans 4. As a matter of fact, those guys did such a great job. I've said, if I ever have any bad news to deliver to someone, I know who to call. I'm going to call Adam and Larry and Chris and Evan. They did such a great job describing Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4. But thank God, with the gospel, there's not just bad news. There's good news. And Romans chapter 5 delivers us some of the greatest news about our salvation that we could find. So I've put a title to this message called The Difference That Justification Makes. That justification by faith makes. It starts out with a little word, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore. And therefore, when we see therefore, we always look back to what he's saying. He's saying, I'm fixing to build off of what all you just learned. And what you just learned was in Romans chapter 2 about the great judgment that's coming. In Romans chapter 3 about the sinfulness of humanity. And about Romans chapter 4 about justification by faith alone. About like Abraham, who all he did was believe God, and God gifted him righteousness. Justification by faith alone. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be a special kind of human to get it. You put your trust and faith in God, and he gives you righteousness. That's what we know as justification by faith alone. So, because we know about the judgment to come, because we know about the sinfulness of humanity, and because we know all it takes is simple faith and trust and belief in Jesus, let me tell you about all the good things that is to come. And Paul goes on to list, I count 11 products or benefits of justification by faith alone, and by faith in Jesus alone, we should say. And I've listed some here. Here's just some of the products of justification that he mentions. First one is peace with God. He says, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that means we have a peaceful and righteous and good and gracious relationship with the God of the universe. And that is because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, he says, through this faith, we've also obtained access to God. So we have access to God. And specifically, he says, access to God's grace. And this is a wonderful product of justification by faith. Because before Jesus, humans didn't know of access to God. As a matter of fact, God's presence was thought to dwell behind a thick curtain. And when Jesus died, that curtain, the Bible says, was torn in two. And it symbolized that now through Christ, there is this great new access to God and access to God's grace. So people can access God right through Jesus Christ. They don't have to go through a mediator. They don't have to go through some large or long process like the sacrificial system. We now go directly to God because of faith in Christ. The Bible also says, Paul says here, we have hope in the glory of God. So we have hope in God's glory. And the word hope could also mean expectation. We have because of Jesus, and because of our faith in him, we have an expectation of glory to come. And that glory just means there's an expectation that we're going to live for all eternity. And the next life and the next world will be so much more glorious than this world. Because one, we'll be in the presence of God. But also we'll be without all of the things that make this world difficult and troubling. So there's an expectation of glory to come. A few years ago there was a book called Your Best Life Now. And I said, I don't want to read that book because as believers, our best life is never going to be now. It's always going to be then, when we're together with God in glory. And he also says not only that, but we boast or have joy or exult in our afflictions. So justification by faith, our faith in Christ, even makes our afflictions a time of joy and a time to boast. So we can even have joy in affliction because of faith in Christ. And why? Because Christ redeems our affliction. And he makes something out of our affliction. And we realize that even our afflictions are part of God's providential and sovereign actions on our behalf to mold us and shape us into what he wants us to be. So our afflictions produce in us It says affliction produces, and they produce in us endurance or a strength of character. Just like when you go through a hard time and you get to the other side of it, you know what? You're stronger on the other side of that difficult time than you were before. And it produces endurance. And then endurance leads to a growth in your personhood or proven character. And what are you doing? You're becoming more and more in Christ, like Christ. And what does that produce? More hope. But he says, not this time hope in God's glory, but hope in God's love. Because we know that through everything we go through in life, we're never alone. We have God's love constantly with us. We can be assured of God's love. Like Psalms 23, which says, God, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. It said, he's with us through those dark valleys. He's with us through the good times and the bad. God's love is ever present for those who put their faith in Christ. And then he reminds us that not only do we have God's ever-present love poured out in our hearts, but we also have God's ever-present Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. So it's a reminder that we're never alone. So look at these products of justification by faith. Peace with God, access to God's grace, hope in God's glory, joy in afflictions, endurance, character, hope in God's love, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, you can take basically all the self-help section in any bookstore, and they're all striving for these things. And you know what? Paul says, here, God's given them to you in Christ Jesus because of your faith and trust in Christ Jesus. So we can examine our own hearts and lives by this list. In Romans chapter 5, we can ask, do I have this peace with God? Am I regularly accessing God's grace through Jesus Christ? Do I have a confident hope and expectation that the next life, that I'm looking forward to life with God forever, that this world is not my home, I'm not gaining comfort here? Am I having joy in my afflictions? Or is this life producing in me a Christ-like endurance and Christ-like character? Am I hoping more in God's present love and God's present Spirit today? These should be the products of your life if you're a true believer. And we need to ask ourselves, am I living as an agent of peace, of access to God, of hope, of God's glory, of joy, of endurance, of character, of God's love and God's Spirit? You know what, people that know you should say, you know what, that person is just, I just feel so at peace in their home. You know what, that person helped me to find Christ and gain access to a relationship with God. You know, that person gives me so much hope. You know, I feel like glorifying God more when I'm around that person. You know what, I feel a sense of joy. They have a sense of joy that I don't understand. You know what, I love how they made it through the difficulties they faced with endurance and character. You know, I sense God's love and God's presence when I'm around this person. And we can ask, which one of these am I kind of short on in my Christian life? Or which one of these have I needed the most of late in my Christian life? And every now and then we need to look at a list like this and say, you know, am I living in these realities? Or who is it in my life that needs a dose of one of these right now? And this can help us as we think about the products and the benefits of justification by faith in Christ. Now, what difference does justification by faith make? Well, you can look at this list of 8 to 11 things. And really two big truths just jump out at me. One is that faith in Jesus grants us a wonderful and forever relationship with God. Faith in Jesus grants us a wonderful and forever relationship with God. That's what those words, those first really three words talk about. Peace with God, access to God's grace, and expectation of future glory. This is part of our wonderful and forever relationship with God. So to know Jesus is to know that wonderful and forever relationship, that alone can give you the peace you're looking for. The Bible says in Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, my God, for the wicked. There's peace for those who have access to God through Christ. And an expectation of future glory. And secondly, we can say faith in Jesus grants us a wonderful forever relationship with God, and faith in Jesus redeems everything in our lives, even the difficulties. That's what is wonderful about the New Testament. It doesn't paint a picture of Christianity like, hey, if you become a Christian, everything is going to go great. As a matter of fact, you could almost say it says the opposite. Because there's even one verse that says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And verses like that that you never see on bumper stickers, or they never make magnets for your refrigerator, anything like that. But faith in Jesus can even utilize and redeem the difficulties in our lives. You can say Jesus is going to redeem everything. He's going to use the good parts of your story. He's going to use the difficult parts of the story. He's going to use the afflictions that you face regularly. As a matter of fact, you see a little bit of a pattern for our development in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. It says, we boast in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces this hope. It's hope in God's love and God's presence. So God's pattern for our development is kind of the afflictions and difficulty in this life. You can expect them. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And afflictions in Christ produce endurance, produce character, and help us strive and seek a deeper and closer relationship with God, God's love, and God's Spirit. And we're never alone because of God's love and God's Spirit. And we learn to cling more to God's love and God's Spirit. And we learn the value above everything else in life that purports to give us hope and purports to give us comfort and purports to help us in our afflictions. All of that will eventually fail. But God's love and God's Spirit will remain. So faith in Jesus redeems everything in our lives who've given us this hope that God's love and God's Spirit are ours forever, and that we can be agents of those things for others. So that's the difference that justification makes. Now, it's made sweeter by the bad news. That's good news, but it's made sweeter than the bad news. And the bad news is, you know what? None of you deserve this. And that's what Paul talks about in verses 6 through 11, that this is all undeserved. Remember, for there to be good news, there also needs to be corresponding bad news. Why is this good news? It's good news because it's a gift, and that we did not deserve it. In verses 6 through 11, here's the words Paul uses to describe us. He says, let me remind you why this is so sweet. It's because you are helpless, in verse 6. You are ungodly, in verse 6. You are sinners, in verse 7, 8, and 9. You are under wrath. And that just means that because of sin, the Bible says God's anger. God's anger is poured out on sin. And so we find ourselves without Christ, facing God's judgment and God's wrath. And then he finally says, you were enemies of God. Verse 10, while we were enemies of God. So this is all undeserved. And you didn't do anything to earn it except trust and put your faith and receive this gift. And that's the good news. Because it's not our actions, but it's what Christ did. You were helpless, but Christ died, the Bible says. Verse 6, while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You were ungodly, but Christ died. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. And here's one of my favorite verses. It's part of the Roman road to salvation. But God proves His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You were helpless, but Christ died. You were ungodly, but Christ died. You were sinners, but Christ loved you, and Christ died for you. And you were under wrath, but Christ saved. Verse 9, how much more then, since we have now been justified by His blood, we will be saved through Him from wrath. We're saved from God's wrath because why? Because Christ took the wrath upon Himself. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? Because He was taking our just penalty upon Himself. So He placed Himself under wrath. And He prayed on the cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Because the first time that relationship between Father and Son was broken. Why? Because He had taken the sin of the world upon His shoulders. He had placed Himself under the wrath that we deserved. And in so doing, He took our penalty and He took our judgment and He saved us from that expectation. You can now live free from the expectation of wrath and judgment. Christ has saved you from that. And as subjects of wrath, you were enemies of God. But Christ reconciled. Verse 11. Verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled. And that just means brought together or made friends again to God through the death of His Son. Then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? So Christ brought us into this right standing, right relationship, wonderful and forever relationship with God. All undeserved, but given as a gift. Just for simply believing in this gift. So Romans 5, Paul paints the picture of the gospel as this is really no contest. There's a no contest comparison of God's plan of salvation to anything else. Why would you not put your faith and trust in God? So many benefits, all the products. You're helpless. You're ungodly. There's no way you can gain this right standing with God that you can gain peace, access, hope, joy, endurance, character, hope, God's Spirit. There's no other way to do it except through faith in Jesus. This is a no contest comparison. Compared to any other way of salvation, this is a blowout. Okay, we've seen some blowouts this time of year, right, in college football, especially in high school football. I'll tell you, my high school football team, my alma mater, the Gina Giants, they're ranked number one in the state right now in 3A. That was not the case when I played football some years ago. Okay, as a matter of fact, our team was so bad. We were everybody's homecoming pick, okay? You know, you always pick the worst team to have your homecoming at. And man, I saw a lot of great homecomings, you know, in my days playing football. As a matter of fact, we got blew out so many times. One time, I remember one game, it was 86-0. That was a great homecoming game. There was a 72-3. There was some really bad blowouts. There was no contest. I have one picture of my days playing football, and it's a terrible picture. It's of me lying flat on my back with a guy like stepping on me and running over me. And that was the only picture I ever have, the only proof I ever have, and I've tried to destroy every copy of that. But that's how this contest is. If you compare God's plan of salvation to anything else out there, it's like, man, this is a blowout. Why would you choose anything else? So I want to ask you, where is your faith? And that's what Paul does in the rest of Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. He kind of does a comparison. Here's some of the other things out there. Here's what you have to choose from. Why would you choose anything else? And he starts with the comparison between Adam and Jesus. Now, he does this in several places through, not our Adam, by the way, but Adam of creation, okay? Not Adam born. Like Jesus, more like Jesus than the first Adam, okay? We'll say that. But Adam and Jesus are compared throughout Paul's writings. And in this one, he compares Adam and Jesus. And he reminds us that we're in this state of sin and judgment and helplessness and ungodliness and wrath and separation from God because of Adam. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sin. It's a reminder that this fallen world goes all the way back to creation's early days when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. Sin entered the world and brought this curse upon the whole world. And if you say, well, it's all Adam's fault, then it's not all Adam's fault, because after Adam, every one of us, myself included and you included, have chosen Adam's way at one time or another. So we're sinners, we're born sinners, and then we're also sinners by choice. And we come a little bit pre-programmed to sin. So any of you have to teach your kids to say no and to rebel against you? You don't have to teach us that. Any of you have to teach your kid to say mine and how to jerk things away from the other children or yourself? We come pre-programmed to be selfish and to sin because of Adam. And here Jesus said, okay, here's the contest. It's Adam, will you choose Adam's way over Jesus? And this is choosing my own desires over God's way of salvation. This is what we have today. We have this choice. Do I choose my flesh? Do I choose my own desire? And that's what Adam and Eve chose. Is they said they saw that the fruit looked good to eat. It was desirable to make one wise. And they thought they could have some special relationship with God through eating this fruit. So they chose their own desire over God's way. And a curse came over all the world. So you could choose that way. You could say, hey, I'm just going to go with what feels good, what looks good, and my own desire here. And I'm going to choose my own desire over God's way of salvation. Another comparison he makes is with Moses. And Moses represents, of course, the law. And keeping the law, keeping the rules versus Jesus. And this is choosing my ability over God's way of salvation. See, he says in verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. That is, those that were pretty good at keeping the law. But it still wasn't enough. In another place, Paul says, the law was powerless to produce righteousness. So, and that's a reminder to us. And we saw last week that the Bible says no one will be justified by the works of the law. In other words, you can't be good enough to earn God's salvation. You can't be good enough to get to heaven on your own. You can't be good enough. You can't keep the rules enough. And the law is powerless. It doesn't produce new life. It doesn't produce peace with God, access to God, hope in God's glory, joy in affliction. Keeping the rules doesn't do that. Now, there's some good things that come with keeping the rules. You'll have a type of peace. If you never break the speeding limit, you'll not get a ticket. You'll be a safer driver, all that. And But what good at the end of your life, when you come to the end of your life, you're going to say, I kept all the rules. And it's not enough to get to heaven. Because if you keep the law completely, you become a good person. Well, what Romans establishes is that goodness is not what this is about. It's about righteousness. And righteousness can only be gifted to us by God. Like Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So if you're here and you're choosing your own ability, well, if I go to church enough, or one I hear a lot, even sometimes on television and things like that, well, if at the end of my life my plus column is bigger than my minus column, then I'll be okay when it comes to heaven or hell. What is that? That's choosing your own ability over God's way of salvation. God says, hey, it's way easier. Forget your way of salvation. Forget your ability. And just trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He also compares, he says, the trespass versus the gift. Verse 15. The gift is not like the trespass, for if the one man's trespass, the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to many? This may represent those that choose pleasure of sin over God's way of salvation. There are plenty that just say, well, I got plenty of time. I can get right with God on another day. But I'm going to choose to trespass what I know to be wrong now. Know to be right now. And put that off to another day. Or you YOLO, right? You only live once. And so I'm going to get all I can while I'm here. And that's just choosing the pleasure of sin over God's way of salvation. So you can choose to live by that. And he goes on to compare. He says you can choose judgment or condemnation over justification. In other words, you can keep going like you are and just take your chances at the judgment. But judgment is coming for all. So now is the time to believe and be justified. And he says, really, you're choosing death versus life. Which one do you want? Do you want death or life? And he says, do you want disobedience or obedience? For just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So he says, here's the product of choosing your own way. The product of choosing your own way is choosing the flesh, choosing the law, choosing trespasses, choosing judgment, choosing death, choosing disobedience, and choosing to be made and shaped into more of a sinner. Sin will multiply. If you just give yourself to that, it will multiply in your life and in the lives of others. It will affect others. But through Christ, and through obedience to Him, through faith and trust and belief in Him, the promise is that we will be made righteous. In verse 21, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says there's two different outcomes that you can track in life. The choice to believe in Christ, put your faith in Christ, and gain this access, this peace, the many products of life in Christ versus the product of life without Christ. And that is sin and death, separation from God. You see how this is a no contest comparison of God's plan of salvation to anything else. Okay. We hate it when our team gets blown out. Okay, I feel for those guys that get blown out because I've been on that side of things. But now that even Years later, I love it to see my team now blowing others out. Number one in the state. Wow. So the choice to put your faith and belief in Christ is a choice to join the winning team. And God's inviting you to this team. And this victory is going to last for all eternity. And our choice is now. This is what our world is looking for. Peace with God, access to God, hope, joy, character, God's presence. We need to live these out as we go about our everyday life so that we can help others experience the great difference that justification by faith in Christ alone can make. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all the great promises that you've given to us through Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive and live in the realities of all that we have access to. Thank you for this good news. Thank you for the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to those that need it and give us a passion and desire to share this good news with others. So what about you? With head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give you some time to reflect and respond to this message, however God may speak to your heart. Do you need maybe today for the first time to gain this confident access to God? Do you need peace with God? Are you looking for hope and expectation for eternal life? You're looking for a way of salvation. Are you looking to find joy in affliction? Maybe today you need to begin this wonderful and forever relationship with God. We do that by putting our faith and trust in Christ. Just like Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Believing God just means we say no to our way of salvation, and we turn from the path of sin and death. And we just ask Jesus, we invite him. We say, I believe. And now I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. That decision, that invitation, receiving God's gift is simply what you're doing. When you receive God's gift, all of this, the benefits of justification by faith, the products begin to take shape in your life. And you are transformed from sinner to saint, from being made a sinner into being made righteous. The hope of expectation of judgment and condemnation, to expectation and hope of eternal life. Peace with God. So maybe you need to do that for the very first time this morning. You can do that where you're sitting. Just invite Christ to become your Savior and Lord. Give him access to your heart, and he will transform you from the inside out. Maybe you hear and you say, I've done that. Are you living this life of peace and access and hope and joy? God's love, God's presence? Or have you allowed the things of this world to crowd out all that Jesus wants to bring into your life? Maybe you need to repent and say, I want to return to this way of salvation through Christ, and I want to look look at what all that been provided to me in Christ instead of all the difficulties and challenges. I want to be shaped by my afflictions. I want to become like Christ in character, endurance, and hope. So maybe you need to rededicate yourself to God's love, the filling of His Spirit in your life so that you can be an agent of these things in the world. Is there someone that you think needs a dose of this story, this message this morning? Maybe you need to pray for them right now and ask for an opportunity to share with them all that's available to them in Christ. As we sing this song, you can pray and respond to God in your heart where you are. If you need a prayer partner, I'll be to my right this morning.